And we're going to talk about man-to-man. And you can just write down there a little subtitle of this workshop is 1 hour a week that changes the world. 1 hour a week that changes the world. That's what I titled it one time when I gave this. The hour that changes the world. You know, people talk about that hour of power. This is the real hour of power that changes the world. We're going to cover some topics today. We're going to do the definition of man-to-man. We're going to do a little demonstration so y'all can see how it's done if you're not familiar with it. We're going to talk about directions you want to go with your man-to-man and the dimension or the eventual impact of man-to-man. And first of all, I'll tell you one thing that blessed my life. You know, I met Jesus Christ when I was in college. And when I came to the Lord, there weren't a lot of Christians around, but there were several guys that were real instrumental in me coming to the Lord, and they had one thing in common. They constantly were getting together, and I'd watch them one-on-one walking along to the next formation. And they'd have little verse cards, and they'd be talking. And I'd see them meet and pray together. Small groups, a lot of one-on-one. And in fact, I said something spiritual one day, kind of like an interest question, and the guy who eventually led me to the Lord, he met with me one-on-one for about 8 or 9 months, going into the Bible every week until I finally came to Christ. And then he met with me every week afterwards and helped me learn to grow and get started. And all of a sudden, my situation changed. I was out of the military, and I was about a six-week-old Christian. And I get back in my hometown 1,800 miles away, and I'm walking down the street, and there's a man walks up to me. He'd been my 4-H leader. I'd known him for 10 years. And he said, "Jack, I hear that you're saved." And I thought, how did he know that? I'm not telling anybody. I was that young, you know. And he said, I said, "Well, that's right." And he said, "Why don't we get together?" And so he started meeting with me and challenging me. And you know what's really interesting? Did anybody ever do those old SCL books, Studies in Christian Living? That was the predecessor to the DFD, the Design for Discipleship. And Dave had left me off in Book 2, Chapter 2, as a new Christian, 1,800 miles away. 3 weeks later, I'm back in my hometown, walking along like nothing's going on. And this guy, he says, "We're meeting next Monday night in the home of your friend James Christensen, and we're doing Book 2, Lesson 3. I knew I needed to be there or the Lord was going to hit me with lightning. You know, I was kind of backslidden, but Monday night I was walking with God. You know, it was the best Bible study I was ever in. So man-to-man is exciting, just the potential of that thing. We were riding along, some Navigator guys had us on a trip back 20 years ago. We were riding in rural Illinois. We just left Champaign-Urbana. We're headed to Iowa, just visiting collegiate ministries. And we're riding along, and there's this little bitty town, and all these farm trucks pull up this diner, and we walk in, and we go through the line, we get our food, and we're about to sit down. We saw an older fellow who's probably in his 60s over there, and he was sitting there facing a young man in his 20s. Across the table from each other, and they had Bibles and they had them open, and especially the older guy, his was all marked in and had I remember that yellow highlight you could see about 3 or 4 tables away, you know, and he was just talking to this guy, you know. Well, what was going on there, do you think? What was happening, do you suppose? Old Warren Booth was following up this young Christian, man to man, was going on right there on that table. So when that, you know, they got through, you know, we were over there and I knew what was happening. I went over and fellowship with them a little bit. I said, "Praise God, y'all are doing some one-on-one, and boy, this is exciting." He said, "Yeah, y'all are Navigators, huh?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "You know, I know a Navigator. He's my Sunday school boy, Tom Getch. And he went to Champaign over there, Burbank over there." And I said, "Man, I just spent the night at his home. He's been to Japan and back. He's a missionary today." This guy had helped old Tom when he was a little boy and prayed for him for years. Didn't even know what he was doing, you know. But he's after it out there in the hinterlands of Illinois, just doing some man-to-man and helping people grow. Now, I get encouraged. My objective, one thing I want to see, I want to go into any restaurant in America at any time, and I want to see people with Bibles open on the table. Do y'all ever see that happen where you go? Sometimes? You like to see people even pray at McDonald's, and isn't that a great stuff? And somebody bows their head at McDonald's. I love to see people doing man-to-man, one-on-one, all over. I saw some ladies down at Cracker Barrel in Denton, and they were doing one-on-one. And I watched them, and I went up and I said, "I'm paying for your lunch." And I took their tab. I said, "Praise God, you're doing one-on-one. I just love it. You're getting in the Word together, and you're encouraging each other." And they're, "Oh, well, thank you." You know, it's so wonderful to see. So that's one of my prayers. There's a guy here in town, I go out to restaurants, I see a couple of men every once in a while, fairly often meeting one-on-one. And one guy's a drug rep, a legal drug rep, you know. He's the kind you all show up at the trunk of his car after church, you know, and hands out the Maalox or whatever, you know. Scott meets one-on-one every week with different men, and I watch him do that. And we have a Bible study going on the other end of the restaurant, and we enjoy seeing Scott do that. And I found out, it took me a couple of years, I found out, he said, you know, I met for 3 years with John Beckendam. This is what John did with him, see. So why is Scott doing this today? Because John did it with him week after week. So one-on-one training. A definition of man-to-man, personalized training consisting of one-to-one sessions, utilizing the Bible and biblical principles to encourage and build up one another. Personalized training consisting of one-to-one sessions, utilizing the Bible and biblical principles to encourage and build up one another. Maybe a brand new Christian you're meeting with. It may be a peer. Could be you're meeting with someone that's older and wiser than you are and you're getting help. But man-to-man is very, very important. How many of you right now are in a man-to-man situation where you meet on a regular basis? Okay, a little over half of you. How many are here just because you want to learn how to do it, want to know more about it? Okay, just to give an idea. Great. Super. Well, why don't we pray and ask the Lord to just bless this time, okay? God, we come to you today with thankful hearts. It's tremendous to be alive and knowing Jesus Christ and to be with a group of men, several hundred men who love God and love the Word of God. And we ask that your Spirit might empower and lead us and encourage us during this, during not only this session, but through our whole conference. There might be one principle that you will lay on our hearts and teach us, and that two things, Lord, that we can know Jesus better and that we can be better able to help people. And we just pray for you to do this. We, not by might, not by power, but my Spirit, says the Lord. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about some biblical basis. You know, in the Christian world, this is my theory, Jack Hill's theory. There are two schools of thought that emerged during the time of Christ and afterwards. There was the Greek method of teaching and the Hebrew method of teaching. The Greek method is lecture. And so many of you have sat down there at Texas A&M or Oklahoma State University, and you're in the chemistry class with 350 students and one teacher who can't speak English. You like that? You're supposed to laugh. You know? They get, you know, these foreign guys are real aggressive, and they learn the stuff, so they become teachers. And and that's the Greek method, where you stand up and you lecture. And the navigators teach us, how much memory do you have? How much can you remember 24 hours later? You know, in that hand illustration, 5 to 10%, right? Now, the Hebrew method of teaching, as I understand, like Jesus had when he was a little boy, sat down with a master teacher who had just a few little boys sitting on the floor, and it was hands-on. You know, it was more concentrated. It was more, they would demonstrate what they were learning. They had a lot more feedback. So somehow in the infinite wisdom of the world came up with the Greek method where you have big lecture hall dynamics. And so we need to convince ourselves that this small group one-on-one. Think about how the navigators started. Do you suppose today there'd be the navigators if Dawson Trotman had found Les Spencer and said, well, get four or five of your buddies. We're going to have a Sunday school class here. Or, like, we're going to sit down, we're going to just have a talk, and I'm going to give you a great seminar every week. No, he met with one guy, didn't he? You know why he met with one guy? Dawson hadn't even thought about the importance of it. He didn't, as I understand, talking to Roy Robertson and different fellows that came up later, they realized what they'd done. There was just one guy that was available. So Dawson met with him one-on-one, see? He's in the Navy, only one guy could get off the ship. He couldn't get the whole bunch off during training, you know, but they had to rotate, so he just met one-on-one, you know? Think of the impact of that. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. What does that say? Somebody, we can quote these verses, these first two. Somebody knows Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. Need a quoter. Boy, I hear that word stimulate. I hear that word encourage. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, encouraging each other, one another. Isn't that great? Okay, and good old Promise Keepers verse, Proverbs 27:17. Somebody knows that, right? Yep, it's iron sharpens iron, so the countenance of one man sharpens another. And like one guy said, that when you rub metal together, you get sparks. If you don't have sparks, you got pot metal. You got kind of worthless material. You know, isn't it? Everything's going to go great. You're going to agree on everything, but you have that challenge, see, the one-on-one idea. Examples in Scripture. Isn't it significant? Do you think it's significant that God demonstrates the principle on one-on-one with various key people? Think in terms of, first of all, your relationship with God. Do you have a group meeting with God, or is it one-on-one? Abraham and God, Genesis 19:27. Could a couple of people look these up? I'll just say Genesis 19:27. Somebody want to get that? I got a hand. Good. How about Psalms 5:3? Okay, right here on the very front, and Mark 1:35. Okay, right over here, and we got Galatians 1:12-17. Okay, and Isaiah 30:20-21. That's a good one. Okay, Gary. All right, I'll read them out to you again. And first is about Abraham and God, Genesis 19:27. Read out good and loud.
Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord.
Great. Abraham got up and stood before the Lord. Just Abraham and God. Okay? David, Psalms 5:3.
In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation.
Think about, what time frame did David say that, do you suppose? What time of day was it? No, he says, in the morning, God, I'm going to. So what time is it when he says that? Probably the night before. You ever like that? You know, I hope I'm going to get up and spend time with God. God, help me to get up in the morning in time so I get time with you. And he sets your clock and... The college students, they used to have a Hershey bar in the room, something to get them up, you know, something to motivate them, you know. Anything that could get me up, but you say, in the morning, God, he makes a promise. In the morning, God, I'm going to awake and eagerly watch. I'll spend time with you personally. Jesus, what does Jesus have at Mark 1:35? Okay, so Jesus went out alone. In a lonely place to spend time with the Father. What's that principle about quiet time? You've got to find a place and a time, you know. Get your place. You know, if you even have a little bitty apartment, there's one chair that works better than anywhere else. If you're in a little bitty apartment, maybe a car is a good place behind the dumpster, you know. Whatever works, you know, get that time with God. Okay, Paul and God, Galatians 1:12-17. Okay, Paul had been converted. Old Saul, you know, that was wreaking havoc, had come to know Christ. And at first he did a little bit of ministry. All of a sudden, into the desert for a number of years. One-on-one with God. And he's in Galatians, many years later in Galatians 1, he's telling the leaders there in Jerusalem, this is what happened to me. You got your doctrine when Jesus was here on earth. I got it personally, one-on-one with him out in the desert. And... you know, wouldn't it have been great, though? And don't you suppose all the Christian promoters at the time, let's get this guy on the road, man. What a testimony. The guy's just gotten converted. We want to hear from him. Let's get him out there. No, God says, let's prepare him. Let's give him some time away and get him strong. There's a guy a big football coach in Kansas came to Christ, a big high school in a big city. And boy, he was ready to go. And some wise businessman took him aside and says, I'm not going to let you speak for 3 years. Nothing for 3 years. I'm going to get you strong on the Lord if you'll let me. And they hassle you. You talk to me first. And he kind of barred the door to anybody else getting to this guy until he got him strong enough. You know, Chuck Colson is pretty much used by God. Wouldn't you say everybody's heard of Chuck Colson? You know, I bet if he hadn't gone to prison, I wonder if he'd be nearly the godly man he is today. I might be wrong, but in that prison, if you read his book, boy, he got in the Bible. Doug Coe got him in Bible studies, and he was in the Word hard and fearing for his life from time to time with those nasty prisoners. You know, boy, he walked with God that time he was in prison and got strong. Okay, so important time away with God. Now, how about us and the way the Lord deals with us on a regular basis? Isaiah 30:20-21.
although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way to walk in.
Okay, that's a little different translation than I have. Does somebody have the one that says the Lord himself? Does anybody have a NAS? I think that's the one I'm looking at. Anybody have it right off? Just something about God himself will direct you. That's the one I'm looking for. Isaiah 30, 20 and 21. Nobody? Okay, you have it there? Isaiah 30, 20 and 21. That's right. The Lord himself is your teacher. Your eyes will behold your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you. You've heard somebody say how God talks in a still small voice. He's behind you. You got to listen to hear him. You know, you got to listen for God's voice, because he usually talks to you in kind of a small voice, still small voice. So you need that time alone with God. You and I know all these things. A lot of y'all heard this for years. We just need to remember. We need that time with God, alone with God. Biblical examples of man-to-man discipleship. Biblical examples. We've got Jesus Christ. We won't do all of these, but I think Mark 3:14 is pretty important. Somebody got Mark 3:14 by memory? Or do you have it there? You've got it looked up?
And you ordained 12, and they should be with him.
Yep, he chose 12 guys that they may be with him. Now, you know, there was a group, but he was with them individually. He went out and chose them individually, see. And that first to be with him for a while, and then to go out to preach. You know, when Jesus went down the ocean, the Sea of Galilee, I mean, and chose Peter, James, and John, and Andrew off the boats, when he said, come follow me, the chronologists say it had been about a year. They probably had been around Jesus for about a year at that time. They knew who he was. They'd heard him teach. They'd responded to his teaching. And one day he came along and says, time to pull out and just come be with me full time. Mark 3:14. So there was a chronology there. He just didn't pick up anybody. He had some guys he knew that were ready to go and were prepared. And let's look at John 1:14. Talking about Jesus and God. John 1:14. Talking about the Word. Somebody has that?
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Okay, it's very significant that God came to us in the form of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, a lot of times we see somebody have a problem in the Christian life. Boy, I've got this book, man, this is the most wonderful book. It'll help you in the area of such and such. Give them the book. I've got this great videotape, man, it'll answer your problems. Give them that video, cold, slimy tape, you know. Good to have those tools, but you know, life on life is so important. Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God came to us in the flesh, a real person. See, isn't that neat? Isn't that significant? Okay, Elijah and Elisha, 1 Kings 19:21. Do I have that? Y'all know where 1 Kings is? Good, okay. In the Old Testament. You think it's 2nd? You think I got the wrong reference? Oh, it's just before 2 Kings. Okay, yeah, that's a clue. Okay, who has it? 1 Kings 19. Okay, Rocky.
So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was crying with the welfare of the oxen.
Certain areas are giving you some help, so. Anybody? Yeah, in the back. Okay, sure. The wallet principle. What you want to do during the man-to-man session, you want to share the Word of God. That's the W-O. Is observe to see how your friend's doing. You know, they say if you're talking with somebody, if you need to ask forgiveness of somebody, which Christians ought to do, because we all offend each other, and it isn't practiced nearly enough, I don't think, in the Christian world. Jesus talked about it quite a bit. A telephone call is a lot easier to do than face to face, because they say that most communication is actually physical rather than verbal. Isn't that right? Like 70% of it is physical, so it's much better to get together with somebody. So you observe. Say you're observing your physical, mental, social thing. Your situational awareness, your SA is there. So word, W-O-L, is to listen to each other. E is encourage each other. And P is pray. We pray together. What would you say the duration of your man-to-man with somebody is on the average? Is it for 2 years or less or more?
I'd say on the average.
One thing I found, if you meet some young person who really wants to grow, you know, a Sunday school class you teach, or you know, just or in a business, somebody you see a hunger, and you start praying. And what I do, I say, how do you like to meet for 3 weeks? I got a little simple Bible study, it's not too hard. You might really enjoy it. We'll just go for 3 weeks and see if you like it. And sometimes that leads into several years. It's just amazing. And one thing Jeff and I are doing the topical memory system. Well, that's taken a while. We haven't been doing a verse a week necessarily, but because they're, you know, the kids are sick sometimes. We meet every other week, different periods of time. And so definitely we'll reevaluate when we finish the 60 verses. I mean, that's just one good little kind of a lunge line to go with, you know, and see how that works. But there, of course, there are different relationships. You're doing a Paul Timothy sometimes. You're helping somebody who's much younger. Sometimes it's the Paul and his good buddy Barnabas sort of relationship, you know. Someone that's about where you are spiritually, and it may go for years, it may go for a short time. You might be meeting with somebody that's quite a bit older and wiser. And like in Doug's situation, Bob picked you up 10 or 11 years ago or more, right? So Bob has time on his hands, and you get off work and meet with Bob.
That's just the way we got started, too.
A third man technique. How does that work?
Well, my pastor at the time was Rock Bottomley, and Rock and Bob were taught together. And Bob was looking for a young guy, disciple at the time. And again, it's awkward to approach a guy you don't know. And so, Rock, the third guy, was Rock. He came to me and said, "Hey, there's a navigator guy that's looking for a young guy.
Boy, isn't that wonderful? It's the third person helping that thing work. Isn't that great? Some people can be, you're gifted at that. Just put it together. Make sure your main thing is to help somebody that's going to take it in and put it to work and share it and reproduce it. You're trying to build generations. That's good. That's a good point. So the guys you're discipling, you meet with weekly. The guys you're ministering to when needed. Yeah. It's your Christian work, too. You're going to be... Remember, a wise pastor we had one time said that... He said, we could find the people that are least problem-free and the most committed and have their Christian life together, and we could form a church. In a short time, we'd have lots of people hanging around with problems. We'd have tons of people with problems. And so, and that's what we do. We minister to people that have problems. But you know, someone said once that David only had one Mephibosheth at his table. You know, he was the guy that was always causing him trouble. He made a commitment to, but he only had one. You don't want to have a whole lot of them, or can keep you from doing the main job, and that's discipling. You know, and helping people that can reproduce. So, Jesus ministered to thousands. He loved the world. He ministered to thousands and trained 12. You know, he stayed on focus, stayed on target. Good. In our demonstration, we wanted to cover, what are some of the areas we covered there? I know they're pretty noticeable, some of them. We talked about, what do we do? Shared prayer requests. That's one thing. Yeah, scripture memory. You know, one thing I'd like to say about scripture memory, our friend Harold Warren just died suddenly. He was 72 years old, I believe. He died a couple days after Christmas playing racquetball, you know, with Joe White here in town, one of our Christian men in town. And he was one of Gene Ward's prayer partners for 35 years or so. And Harold met with men every week. I saw him often at IHOP downtown. And he'd have a guy or two he's meeting with. And the first thing Harold would always do is get that verse pack out right away. First thing, the verses are out. You're going to be sharing a verse. Everybody knew we're going to share a verse first. You know, get that verse done. It means you're getting in the Word. You're memorizing. And there's a whole lot of things that happen behind getting a verse out and having that thing memorized, isn't it? It's Somebody's walking with God. They're trying to get the word down. And so first thing, get that done. Be sure you get some scripture memory done. I think it's really important. We open up the book. You know, you get the Bible open. Are you getting stuff out of the Bible on a weekly basis? You share. I didn't share my thing. That's something pretty neat. I just let it go. But I wouldn't let it go if we were together. And then prayer requests. Talk about who are we helping, what our vision is, who's got potential to grow, who we're praying for. Anything else you noticed? Yeah, talking about your quiet time. Yep. So that's another basic that's going on. Yeah, Grant? That is a good question. We did part of the 2-7 together on a weekly basis a couple of years ago, and then we transferred over to doing the topical memory system. And some men I meet with, we do a Bible book or we just do a Christian book. We kind of work through. But even then, we still do our memory verses and we still share our quiet times and share our prayer requests. That's a good question. Certain guys, I mean, we would just do a little book study. We're doing Pursuit of Holiness or something like that. Yeah, good question. Okay, comment? Or are you scratching your head? Okay. 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 Yeah. The idea, yeah, we're thinking accountability. We're thinking accountability. It may not come out real clear, but we tell where we are and what we're struggling with. Very good. Good question. Okay? We'll take one more. Boy, that is a great question. At what point do you introduce to the people you're helping that they need to be meeting with other men, discipling other men? How do you introduce that? Good question. I try to just keep it going all the time. I usually quote 2 Timothy 2 about every day to at least somebody. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men, we'll teach others also. Paul to Timothy, to faithful men, to others also. We talk that all the time. And so it's kind of the flavor. When I had somebody come speak a few weeks ago, he was laughing because I put on the podium, I finally learned how to do fonts a little bit, you know, so I had about 4 or 5 things just for him to see. Be sure to preach Jesus, use the word, talk about reproducing your life. Had a wonderful Bible teacher come and talk. He was a specialist on Islamic issues, and he goes all over the world. He teaches it, you know, like in the Christian community and in Islamic countries, and he's kind of an undercover guy, and he did some great stuff, but he didn't use much Bible. I mean, he did great stuff, you know, and Carolyn figured it out. You know, he said, he didn't use the word nearly like he could have. And he knows the word, he was an ad rep for 20 years, and he's, you know, and he really knows the word, you know, but somehow just as he was lecturing on the, you know, since 9/11, he's in high demand, you know, here's the stuff on the Islamic thing, but just to get the word in there, you know, so important. Well, we're always talking about the vision. 2 Timothy 2:2, and get them to something like this where they can see it work. I got a lot of guys coming out here just for a short time. It's hard to get them when they live in Wichita Falls. It's hard to get them out 7 miles west. If they're in Oklahoma City, we could probably get them here, you know. But I'm saying you got to get there so you can see the flavor. Everybody wants to grow in Jesus and they want to reproduce their life. They want to help people. You know, we talk about that constantly. Okay, I'm going to jump on quickly here. In a man-to-man, the little term wallop, I didn't write it down here, W-O-L-E-P, use the word wallop. W is use the word. You observe, you see how you're doing. You know, you physically, you're together, you can tell a lot about how someone's doing spiritually, emotionally. You listen to each other, W-O-L, so the word, observe, listen. You encourage. I didn't do a very good job encouraging Jeff today. He's a great encouragement to me all the way around. Just in what he does in his life, he's always doing things for the Lord. He's a musician, and yet he's a disciple type of musician, which is kind of unusual. You know, a lot of musicians don't get in the word much. Jeff does. He's always helping people. When he's in a group, they ask him to pray. You know, his peers think a lot of him. And you pray together. So, wallop. Word, observe, listen, encourage, and pray. And think about the wheel illustration, too. You know, the basics are the basics. You know, when you get together, okay, you're doing the Word, which you first spoke, the Word. We're doing prayer. Fellowship, we're finding out how our fellowship's going. You know, just what he shared, we kind of know about the Christians he's around. We know about his witnessing opportunities. We're talking about Christ being the center. So you think in terms of the wheel, you cover the real good things. And on page 3, the top directions, here's some guidelines for profitable man-to-man. I think I got the Christ being the center. So you think in terms of the wheel, you cover the real good things. And on page 3, the top directions, here's some guidelines for profitable man-to-man. I think I got most of this from Jack Griffin. And I've got a bibliography on the last page. One good little thing about Jack Griffin is wonderful. You meet consistently. You know, every 2 weeks is okay. Weekly is preferable, I think. But meet consistently. Set up your next meeting time when you finish. Be sure you're on. You know, I go get a haircut every once in a while. Believe it or not, I have to get a haircut. And before I leave, the barber says, "Okay, now when's your next appointment?" We set it. You know, I'm about to leave out the door. Wait a minute, we got to get set the next time. Now, what's your cell phone number? You know, make sure we're on. See, now if a guy like me needs a haircut, you know that that's important for everyone, and you need to do it on a regular basis, right? You got to be on time. That means a lot. Get there a little bit early, and it means you're important. You know, so you're there. If you're always late, doesn't look really good, does it? You're not very important to that person. Share the word with each other. Maybe sharing your best quiet times, the best of your quiet time for that week. Memorize and review together. We talked about that. You listen to each other. Pray consistently for each other. And go back to your request from last time. I didn't have my request from last time. I was looking for them this morning before Jeff. I laid him down. I didn't say, "Hey, how so-and-so?" I should have done that today. And encourage each other. And under letter H, here are 6 little things you can do with somebody to really get to know them better. A lot of people don't know this. You really want to get to know somebody, it's really good to be doing Bible study together. You really don't know another Christian until you've done some Bible study together. See how they really know the Word very well, where they need help in getting in the Word in their life. You work together. You know, just a little workday project. Everybody has to be working around a house. Somebody's got to trim their tree or change a tire or laminate a counter or something like that. Say, "I'll come help you." Amazing how you get to know people just doing something with them that's ordinary life. Navigators used to excel at this. We used to talk about a word that no one hears about called servanthood. Has anybody heard a message on servanthood in the last 10 years? Anybody heard one on servanthood? You have. Wow. Where do you go to church? No. I mean, it's amazing. In fact, there's this wonderful young Christian couple in town that we're involved with, and we're doing some Bible study leading together, and we're kind of getting into a discipleship relationship. They're just go-getters. And they are always washing the dishes, you know. And Carolyn cooks a big meal for the guys, and they're in the kitchen doing everything. One day I sat down and I said, "Have you all heard the term servanthood surely in your ministry in Nashville, the college ministry?" No, we never heard the word. They just do it. But I think it must be not a Gen X word. Is that right? Servanthood is an N. Is that right? You know, younger guys, do you know that? You don't hear anybody talk about servanthood. But you go and work and help each other out. Recreate together. Boy, you know, have you ever known somebody for years and one day you play a little flag football with them or something? Boy, it's funny to watch your personality change. Isn't it great? Knock them down, they knock you down. So sports, recreation, meals together. You know, Jesus said, "I'll come and dine with you and you with me" in Revelation 3:20. That's significant. Do it. Go out and share the gospel with somebody together. Now, that's how you get to know somebody. You'll never forget it your whole life. You know, sometimes doing evangelism, some of the wildest things happen, don't they? And you'll never forget. I mean, usually good things. Always good things. A lot of things don't happen when you do evangelism. You're afraid will happen. And that's kind of fun, too, to see what doesn't happen sometimes. Look to widen your sphere of influence. Pray big. Have a vision. Have a vision with whoever you meet with. What can God do with us in this town? What do you think we need to be praying and asking God for? Pray big. You know, Dawson Troutman said, you probably heard this on one of his tapes, "Do you pray for peanuts or do you pray for continents?" Ever heard that question? You hear Dawson say that on the tape? Isn't that great? And I heard Dawson say something else one time. There aren't many tapes with Dawson on them out. We've got these CDs that are being put out now and they're going to be available. Some of them are available now, which are really neat. But he would say that the hardest thing in the world to pray for is people, men, people. Hardest thing in the world, people pray for anything but, "God, help this guy come to Christ," or "Give us somebody that we can work with. Give us somebody who can do a ministry over there, you know, in that part of town, or somebody who can do a ministry here in the office." One of the hardest things to get people to pray for is just pray for people, you know. And I think we've got a little spiritual warfare going on. We think about, okay, here's a need here, you know, this person in the hospital, we need to pray for them. But, man, pray for people, souls. People to come to Christ and people to grow and people to have a vision. You know, I remember one thing about Gene Ward's office. in his office, he had some on the board. I bet it was kind of embarrassing to a number of contract people in there signing contracts. You know what it said on the big sign on there? You're a part of a movement that is changing the world. You remember that? Ever seen that in anybody else's office? I mean, it was this big, you know. Wasn't real neat either. Somebody just painted it, you know, like roadside sign, you know. You're a part of a movement that changes the world. And, you know, the world was getting changed. You know, it was just amazing. What you know, all over the world, things were happening. And Gene Ward was somewhere in the background having a lot to do with a lot of that. And a lot of you were a part of some of that, too. Last time I saw anybody I knew in DFW, I was down in DFW walking to my plane. I never see anybody ever know. There are thousands of people. And I thought, is anybody here that I know? Because, you know, people say I know everybody, but I really don't, Mark. I'm walking along, and the last time was about 4 or 5 years ago. There was Brad and 4 or 5 guys, and they were headed, and John Repass, and they were headed to do a Billy Graham thing somewhere. They were going to get on the plane and fly somewhere. I thought, man, isn't that neat? These guys got off work. They love Jesus enough to get off work and go somewhere and do something for the Lord. You know, they're flying on an airplane somewhere. Isn't that great? So, widen your influence. And then, very quickly, the last thing on dimension. What is the importance of this man-to-man? Well, like I said, 1 hour that changes the world. If you'll just give 1 hour a week. I talk to so many people that say, oh, I don't have any time. I just need to be meeting with somebody. I don't have time. You eat lunch every day. You eat breakfast every day. You know, Leonard Sandy used to say, I can meet with any man in the world. There's no man that can't meet early in the morning. You know, if they were going to go somewhere and be on the job at 6, not too many people, he'd meet them at 5. I mean, you can meet. It can be done. No matter how busy, no matter how many kids you can have lunch once a week with somebody, even if it's for 30 minutes. Or you can make a phone call. I've known guys who followed up every day on the quiet time on the phone call with a young Christian, day after day after day. Boy, that'll change somebody's life. You know what I mean? So it can be done. It'll make all the difference in your life, your marriage. A whole lot in your marriage. This is your sharing prayer requests. How's Carol doing? How's Carolyn doing? We always talk about our wives when we meet. Your family, your ministry, and are you going to leave a legacy? This will make all the difference in leaving. And I mean a legacy for Jesus Christ. What have I done for Jesus? What's going to last forever? The souls of men, the Word of God, God Himself. The only things that are going to be around. The souls of men, the Word of God, God Himself. I want to have a legacy and just that I want to help more people know Jesus Christ and grow. How long do you want to walk with God? Many aspire and few attain. Someone did a book. If somebody knows what this is, tell me afterwards. There's a book somebody wrote about important people of the Bible and how they ended up. I hear that's out there somewhere. It's pretty new. You know, it takes about 100 people in the Bible, and most of them, I think only about half of them ended up pretty well. And that's just 100 people that are pretty famous, like David and Moses and you know, Andrew and Peter, you know. But if we pray for each other and we stimulate each other and we have accountability, chances are really good you're going to finish well and finish strong. Go really quickly to suggested reading here in the back. There's a great classic that was written 100 years ago. And Navigators, a lot of them have this on their shelf. It got reprinted somehow a couple of years ago. A.B. Bruce on the Training of the 12, old Scottish divine from 100 years ago. It's a thick book, that thick, and it's all on how to disciple and how Jesus discipled people. Incredible. Robert Coleman, The Master Plan of Evangelism. That is a classic. Talking about man-to-man and importance of one-on-one. That is a classic. It's been reprinted in a very wonderful format, much more readable. I got a copy on my shelf. It's brand new, and somebody really put it together. Good old Leroy Ames, The Lost Art of Disciple-Making. How many of y'all seen that book, The Lost Art of Disciple-Making? It gives you a lot of material to utilize, especially in following up somebody in a man-to-man situation. Jack Griffin was a businessman from Australia that got reached at a Billy Graham crusade. He literally couldn't read, hardly read and write. He was a very good businessman. Learned to read the Bible by reading Bible storybooks, like little kids buy. You know, he'd buy these little books and read about Pharaoh and Moses. See, taught himself how to read, and boy, he had a bunch of PhDs he discipled, you know, that are all over the world today, you know, just because he would get after it. He was a master at man-to-man. Walt Hendrickson, Disciples Are Made, Not Born, that's still available. Waylon Moore, Multiplying Disciples is a good one. That's been out for a while. And then a guy I know with Campus Crusade, Chris Adsit, probably one of the best books ever written, Personal Disciple Making by Chris Adsit. You've probably seen that book. It's everywhere. Very, very good. Chris got a lot of his stuff from Leroy, and he was a Olympic qualified athlete from Colorado State University, and he was around the NAB ministry, and then he was the head of the Athletes in Action track team for many, many, many years. And he's in Oregon and has a worldwide disciple-making ministry very much on his heart. So that's a very good book. I called up Chris one day. I said, you made it big. I found 10 copies of your book in the surplus warehouse. $2 a piece, you know, nice good $10 book for $2 each. I said, you're in big time. You're in Walmart, you know, you're big. Anyway, so boy, I'd like this disciple-making thing to be bigger. I'd like to see people meet man-to-man everywhere and helping people grow. Just one thing to leave you with. Dawson, think again about how if Dawson Tribeman had met with a group of sailors, what might have happened? With all these thousands of men, in fact, a couple are sitting here, Mark Galloway came to Christ in the Navy in World War II. Were you on the ship or are you on shore? You're on the shore. But he knew the navigators, guys, and came to the Lord right during World War II. Would that have happened if Dawson hadn't started one-on-one with old Spencer? And Leroy said they kind of realized later the beauty of it. Years later, they figured, what happened? How did this happen? How did these thousands of guys come to Christ? And it was, the beauty of it was this one-on-one discipling. Lila says that when Les Spencer brought Gurney Harris and another guy to him, says, hey, Dawson, God's finally answered my prayer. Here are these two guys that have come to the Lord. You help them. And Lyle said, man, right off the top of his head, boom. He said, nope, unless you help them, I failed. Lyle said, where'd that come from? You know, God just gave it to him. Unless you help them, I failed. Isn't that neat? The other thing, talk about the power of one-on-one. Dr. Clyde Taylor, real great, well-known missionary, statesman guy. Clyde Taylor made a statement once that every great African Christian leader has one thing in common. Every great Christian leader in Africa, and you know a lot of African work now is indigenous because they run the Europeans and Americans out of there. They had one thing in common. They were the house servant of a Christian leader or pastor. Now, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? What do you suppose? Here's a little servant boy comes in the morning in this Christian leader's house. He sees old Dr. So-and-so from England, Bible teacher. Didn't know anything about discipling, but he could really teach the Word. He's up there having time with God every morning, you know, reading the Word. And here's this little servant boy watching him, you know. And he sees old Dr. So-and-so go over there and get by his bed and pray for hours. And thinks, ah, he prays. Accidental discipleship. And you got, so they run the Europeans out and the Americans out, and you've got hundreds of discipling godly African leaders by accident. What would happen if we did it on purpose? Wouldn't it be great? So, the importance of man-to-man. I'd like to encourage you to be involved in it. If you would help Laura Robertson, why don't you give us some insight on man-to-man. Has been doing this for probably about 60 years at least, I think. About 60. Y'all know Roy? Of Hong Kong and Denton, Texas, and all points east.
Yeah, well, I particularly like what you said about the difference between lecturing and training, of which maybe I should introduce myself by saying I was trained by Dawson Tribeman and had the privilege of being in his home. And I had 2 years in his home. My wife had 6 years in their home, Dawson and Lila, and my wife Phyllis, she was the sort of the personal helper or servant for Lila after Dawson went to be with the Lord and was the hostess at the Pink House and lived with Lila and served along that way. So you minister both by life and by lip, both by how you live and what you say. And there's a great difference between telling and training. So this was inculcated into my life by Dawson. And both my wife and I look to Dawson as my example. And even today, 30, 40 years later, I still find myself thinking, well, what would Dawson thought? How would Dawson handle this? What are you doing? Still... It has an influence that that lasts on and on and on and on. And one thing that I learned from Doss that was very significant is I've met so many people that had maybe 30 minutes or 1 hour with Doss, and they say, it changed my life. Wow. Well, I'm not Doss, but got the same God, same person. Maybe if I have 30 minutes or an hour with this guy or whatever, then I can help to do something and to help him, to guide him, because you start doing these principles, they work. There are three kinds of work and three kinds of relationships, and we need to put them all together. There's first your church, and we preach everybody ought to be loyal to your church. Yes, yes, great, great. But with apologies, the church does a great job of church, but not such a great job of discipleship, because there's two kinds of basic carrying on of people. There's what you call the pastoral and what they call the parental. Now, the pastoral, and I'm at a great church, Denton Bible Church. It's a great church, going from 300 to 3,000 people, great church. And praise God for the church. But they listen and they listen and they listen and they go through course after course after course. And we have 100 seminary graduates in our church. Well, we ought to be exploding. Well, all right. But you don't explode by listening. You have to somehow by doing. And it's got to get from the head and listening and lifting this lecture and another lecture and a higher lecture and a higher... They're great. I mean, I teach too, and I left a lecture. But the thing is, you've got to do the training. And training means getting people to live in your home. It's a lifetime principle. My wife and I have had about 80 people that have lived in our home 3 months or longer from 10 different countries. And half of them call me mom and pop or whatever. We still keep touch with them. Some are pastors, some are Christian leaders. Some are here, some are there, whatever. But you only have one parent. You have a lot of teachers, Paul said. But you have one parent, and so few people have anybody that if something happens to them, you know, they'll still look them up. They'll still do that. They'll still do that. Never give up on a person. One thing is the Christian community can be very, very harsh against anybody who fails. Oh, they can be harsh. Cruel. I mean cruel. Christians can be so cruel. Family members can be so cruel. And looking for someone who, no matter what happens, someone said, when do you give up on a man? You never give up on a man. When you leave him, you never leave him. They may leave you. But it's forever. I mean, you know, as long as death do its part or what have you. And so it's a constant process of this. This contact, this keeping up, and going. And it's a matter of training the difference between a parent and a professor, school teacher, whatever. So we're the privilege. What a great privilege of being a parent. And so many people are, you know, sort of out there, and relationally, they have nobody that really cares for them. Just show some kind of interest in how practical this was. Jack, you did a beautiful job. Just practical. I'll be a parent. Okay.
Mistake, though. There's one more book you need to get. Now, this you ought to start with. Timothy Training Workbook, How to Disciple One-on-One by Roy. It's a great book. I know that it's a great book. I just didn't have it on my list. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is... I went to China, 1948. And arrived, and my job was sent by Dawson Trotman to try to teach the Chinese people, the pastors, the leaders, how to do just basic what you're talking about, follow-up. And so got together and I taught them, and I started with the wheel and the hand and illustrations and all like that, which Dawson taught me. And I'm much more structured than what you have here. I'm a very structured man. And somebody meets me, I'm going to preach to them. I'm very structured. I'm very personal, but academically thing. I want everything outlined. I want everything in place. Not people all, you know. A lot of people, they're not structured. Never mind. I want to have a pattern. And so I have things, patterns. Everything I do, I got a pattern. Well, what's my pattern? I got a pattern for evangelism called the bridge. And a colleague and I, we set up the bridge. And so everybody I give the gospel to, I give the bridge. And, you know, what have you. And some people follow the bridge. Some people do something else. Okay. And so I have a pattern for everything I do. And that's whatever. But the basic things I thought I'd put in writing. And I still got the old wheel in here with apologies. Slightly different. Although I like the present time obedience and big strokes. Obedience is a big thing. Okay. But I have a pattern for quiet time. I have a pattern for... And I have sheets. I have notebook. And so I started on notebook. And I resurrected. And everything that the navigators quit using, I collected and distribute. And we have a discipleship notebook that's very similar to what they used 50 years ago. Prayer page and this page and that page and that page and that page and that page. And so all of these things are sort of put in practice, just the way you give the wheel, just the way you have a quiet time. This is a kind of sheet for your question, answers, or prayer. This is the way you keep your chart. This is the way you ladder your Bible. This is the way you do that. So it's put together in this simple book called the Timothy Principle. Patterns that can be. There are different kinds of people in different kinds of ways, but I like to leave a pattern, an example for people to follow. So that's this.
Is this available out here?
I didn't see it, and they didn't ask me. 2 years ago we had some out, and I haven't been able to. I may have lost my influence. Whatever.
You think it's, they can see you, and you can go and tell.
Yes, I have. I brought along quite a few copies. And so I left out the other one, which is also, one is a church. One is your going together and forming a group with somebody. One I mentioned, your one-on-one relationship. The other is a team. And so the things that I wrote down from this conference, I wrote in my quiet time this morning, is one-on-one is great, but... it also needs a team. And I'm meeting with three people now during the week when I'm home for just 6 months. I always grab up people I'm meeting with. I'm meeting with three people. They come to my home for an hour. And some of them meet with my wife, some of the wives. But what we need is we need to get these people together too, because just one-on-one without a NAV conference, without this, without that, without other reinforcement, is a very, very difficult thing to get through. Some will do it.
Like a football team, the line coach takes them and the receivers coach trains them individually in small groups and puts them together as a team to play.
Yeah, that's why what we're doing is so much greater in China than I can do in Denton, Texas. I said, wow, it's exploding in China and Denton, Texas. I have a hard time getting anybody off the ball. Why? And so this morning I felt the Lord gave me a partial answer. Is, well, these guys who are committed one-on-one need to relate together in some kind of a function or form to encourage one another. And what we did naturally, we did in the old days, navigators and what have you, or on the ship you got together, something like that. And just pure one-on-one is great, but it's going to need these people to re-encourage one another, I think, to really take off. Okay, thank you.
You got a workshop, right?
On missions, yeah, it's not on this.
Okay, and it's on missions, and also would you pray for us, and we'll close out with your prayer.
Okay. Father, we do pray for every man here, and we trust, first of all, that every man has an intense desire to be a spiritual parent, to be willing to be responsible, to help, to train, to mentor, to coach, to meet with or to parent some other person. and it requires a cost and a commitment. And Lord, we pray that during this conference, and not just at this group here, but throughout this conference, there may be many people that will have a new commitment, Lord, to put in high priority to search after and meet with, pray for two is what you said, pray for two to be saved and one to work with. Oh God, we pray that you will make every person here among us to be fruitful, to be able to latch on and to train to other people, and Lord, if it please thee, to be able to reproduce to the glory of God. Oh Father, thank you. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that this is not the only type of Christian work, but Lord, it's a type that is very, very needed. And those of us who see it and see the vision and know how to do it, oh God, may we be faithful to help another person in a significant way, and that this person in turn will be faithful enough to help another person in return. Lord, we pray it and we ask it. Fulfill it, Lord, and thank you for that which we have together, a wonderful fellowship in spirit you're working in our hearts. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.